Everyone's going to be speaking on steps 8 and 9. Step 8 is made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. And 9 is made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. So, Carolyn, we'd like to hear what you have to say on those.
My name's Carolyn. I'm an alcoholic. And hi to my special friend Marjorie on Zoom and everybody else too. Glad you're here. The miracles of modern technology. So we're at step 8 already. And as stated, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. As I said last week, sometimes if we're having difficulty doing the step in front of us, sometimes it's a good idea to take a step back, take a look at what we did in the previous step. And so I did that and kind of reviewed my notes. And I'm not sure that I mentioned last week with regard to step 7, I want to emphasize that I don't remove my character defects. Okay? As noted in the prayer, we ask God to remove them so that we can be of service, usefulness to God and to our fellows. And so home on the couch, working on my character defects is not the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, okay? So it's a spiritual program, and these steps in particular, all of them require willingness, but I think these steps for me require willingness, which I also would like to reiterate that, like, when I was new, it was suggested that I not, or that when I found myself, because I couldn't stop myself from thinking, my mind was just a squirrel cage, thinking, and I heard the expression, well, get a sponsor so you don't go up there alone because it's a dangerous neighborhood. So, again, sponsorship is really important in the program, but particularly important in working the steps. And why? Because my take on stuff, particularly when I'm new, I don't know a whole lot. I can... And it took me a while. It wasn't for lack of education or experience that I didn't understand the big book. It was, or I should say educational experience. It was, I didn't understand what the recipe for living for an alcoholic was, as described in the book. So I needed some help. So what I did was I went to meetings and listened to other women. What I heard was women sponsor women and men sponsor men for obvious reasons. And it is a we program, and so they said to listen for somebody who has what you want. And so I found that person ultimately. I did share that my second sponsor, who is still a very close friend of mine today, who helped me through the steps when I did them as if my life depended upon them, and 2 years sober, she was actually assigned to me, but I knew her. And I say assigned. There was another woman that was a friend, and she said, why didn't she ask Pat to be your sponsor? And I did that. And she said yes. I think there was maybe a little footwork before I was directed to ask her. But also, when we're talking to a sponsor and having done the fifth step, before you get here to the eighth step, you realize you're not unique. I realized I wasn't unique. It wasn't just poor little Carolyn. You know, it wasn't that my problems were particularly different. And I had to have some faith in the program and the people that had done it before me to let go of the idea that this program wasn't going to work for me, that it wasn't going to work on my particular problems. And so when I listened to my sponsor in the fifth step. And she didn't talk a lot, but as things came up, she said, oh yeah, I did that too, or oh, this was my experience with that. So a sponsor can relate their personal experience. And as we read in the big book, you know, there's stuff I don't want to tell anybody, not telling you. I told my sponsor, you know, and that is stuff that needs to be said. It needs to be said to another human being, God, and myself. And so that's kind of reiterating the importance of sponsorship. And again, also, if you don't have a sponsor and you haven't worked the steps, so you've been around for a while, don't go ahead and make some amends now before you've done the rest of the previous steps, because sometimes I want to make an apology or an amend, and I did back then. I wanted to, you know, clear it off the table because I wanted to feel better. Well, sure, making some of the amends, we do feel better, but that isn't the point. The point is that we clear away the wreckage so that we can be useful, and of course, so we don't drink. And lastly, if we run out and do some amends now, just like a few weeks or months, or in some cases years sober, without actually doing the process, doing the program, when we get around to it, if we get that grace and we get around to really making amends correctly, we might have ruined an opportunity because the person may not want to hear from us. So, I'm thinking about something, but I'm going to ignore that because some of you will find when you're up here, you can start going down rabbit holes, you know. So I've wrote some things out so I don't go down those rabbit holes. So step eight is a paragraph in the big book, and it starts, it's into action, not into thinking. Again, trying to, you know, I'm not discounting that we have, you know, God-made brains, but our brain sometimes is not our best asset. Our willingness to talk to somebody else is our best asset, or is my best asset. And and so then there's another quote right there in step eight, which is, faith without works is dead. And so that is what prompts us to take the action. And again, that faith that we've developed a little bit of, that we asked for in the prayers preceding, is what helps us and equips us to make the list. This is it's a spiritual program, and it's really, really practical. And so step eight is actually where I identify the people that I hurt. And it's just a list. It says, make a list. And some of you are going to say, oh, that's one of those AA tricks. They tell you it's just a list. You don't have to do anything else, but write it down. Like, one day at a time. Anybody can just do, you know, not drink for one day at a time. But it's really the rest of your life. You know, that AA trick. So anyways, bear with me. It is just a list. And the other kind of easy part about step eight is we already have the list. It's the list that we compiled in our fourth step. The people that I was angry with and blamed, had fear around, resulting from some action I took that was harmful in many cases. As it says in the book, everything I'm saying is in the big book, by the way. It's right in here. I set the ball rolling. Something I did set the ball rolling. Because at first you might think, well, what's the correlation between people I'm mad at and people I have to make an amend to? Because you think I'd be angry at them because of something they did to me. Well, that's where the unraveling of it all comes in the fifth step, and why we have to make our prayers in the seventh step to see it. And again, that's where our sponsor helps us to to take a look at it. The fourth column of the fourth step is where the harm is in many cases. Now, there may be people that you've harmed that come up that were not on your fourth step. Put them on the list, you know, and they probably came up not just because you remembered their name, because you remember what the harm was. And it's a really good idea, again, to review these harms with your sponsor. The eighth and ninth are so integrated. I'm going to start talking about the ninth step a little bit. But there are some amends we want to make. Those are the lists of old boyfriends and old girlfriends. I don't know about you. I got here before I was married, and I was 27. And there might have been a couple relationships that I thought maybe I should. I mean, I wasn't telling my sponsor this, but I had an ulterior motive, okay? I'm going to open that up again. And talking to my sponsor, she's like, where's the harm? That wasn't harmful. That's just an old relationship that's over. Do him a favor. Don't call, you know, or don't write. Pat had her gloves off most of the time with me. So anyway, I also was talking about, I don't know why, I'm always talking to Ryan before this meeting, but which, because ideas start to trigger. And sometimes, to this day, this isn't particularly off my ninth step, but just sometimes I feel like, well, maybe I could call that person and say I'm sorry. Kind of use that as a way to get in, you know, kind of to reestablish contact. When I'm not sorry at all, it's not, it's a manipulative form of communication. And when I can look below it a little bit and maybe talk to somebody else, I can find what are the appropriate words for this person that I want to contact. It probably has nothing to do with making an amend. It probably has something to do with something else. So anyway, just throwing that in. Now, sometimes my sponsor said that she didn't see the harm, but I saw the harm. So it's my list, it's my life, I make the amend. And if there's something on the list that I don't see the harm, I continue to pray and keep it on the list. So I have to be willing. And willingness is, you know, addressed, I thought it was on our coin. It's on something. Oh, honesty, open-minded, and willingness. Maybe it's on old coins. I don't know. But we read it every time we read how it works. It is at page 58. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps, one of them being the ninth step. And then a little bit, we are willing to go to any length to get it. And that's, of course, what's it? It's what other people have. It's the light in the eyes we see of people that have been sober for a while. And how they got that way was clearing. Part of it was with the help of their higher power and other people in AA's direction. They made their amends. Got cleared away the wreckage. And more about prayers and willingness is on page 76, and it just says if we're not willing, we just keep praying and ask until it comes. Because we agreed that we would go to any length for victory over alcohol. My list included my family, my mother, my father, my brother. My father was deceased. To be quite honest, I don't remember if I wrote my father a letter. That's a suggestion that's made sometimes to write a letter to people that can't be seen. I took that as people that can't, I couldn't see face to face, that were across the country or something. But it is sometimes suggested if there's some sort of amend that one feels they need to make to write a letter. Business associates, institutions we lied to or were dishonest with, and I already shared about my career and didn't get off to a really quick start because of the exam and my drinking, but I also had to correct some things on an application regarding my career. And was fine. They wrote back and go, oh, thanks for the addition, you know, nothing. But it worried me. But what I found as I made these amends was that I had a basis then, kind of a scaffold, if you will, where I could make more. There's some thoughts about which amends do you make first? Do you make the really hard ones first, or do you go with the softball, which in my case was like my mom. I mean, she was so happy I got to Alcoholics Anonymous. When I told her I was in AA, she said, oh, I'm so glad you found somebody else to help you with your problems. Because she had been, you know, on the front lines of Team Carolyn. She was it. So, anyway. So I followed the suggestion of making the easy ones first, because, as I say, again, then I had some success, if you will, that success of making an amend is making it, okay? Not whether I had some where I didn't feel really good about it, and I talked to my sponsor. I said, well, I didn't get a really great reception. I don't feel very good about it. And she said, we're not doing this to feel good. We're doing it so you stay sober and so you can be of service. So, as a practical matter, some of my amends I wrote out on a note card, wrote exactly what the harm was. And when an amend was made to me, I learned something new. It was about, is there something more that I can do to set this right? I never heard that line, so hence I didn't use it in my initial amends, but I think it's a very helpful and humble way to make the amend. And I also reviewed with my sponsor each one of them. There's a section also, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. My experience is that I'm not an other. I'm not one of those others that to whom I need to make amends or who I'm going to injure while making amends. I think there's some practical situations that can be discussed with a sponsor, a clergyman, a counselor, you know, to see if there really was some harm. And if there wasn't, in consultation with those people, leave it alone. But I've kind of heard that over the years, and I just think that the others is talking about other people. There's a lot of talk in the big book, or quite a bit of ink, I think, devoted to infidelity, which was, you know, back in the day, that was a big consequence of drinking. And I'm sure it was men and women, but it was written from the male perspective. So the other, I think, that they're talking about is not harming the current wife or bringing it up to the person who was part of the liaison and just letting it be. Those are complicated matters and, again, need to be discussed. Something else, so I was going to say, since I'm not an other, in the fifth step, actually, it mentions, but it's on page 74, and I think this is one of those rules. You know, they're all suggestions, but among the suggestion, there's a rule, and it says, the rule is, we must be hard on oneself, but always considerate of others. And so I think that comes in there. Another idea, the amend that I made to my mom, best as I can remember, is about stealing her booze, losing some really nice jewelry that she gave me when I was blacked out, or, you know, who knows, but that was my best guess, and borrowing money. Not a whole lot, but some. And so what came up after that was a concept which isn't in the big book, but I've heard a lot about and I practice, is living amends. And so I tried not to keep borrowing that same $500 from Mom. My sponsor and her husband, I think they borrowed $600. But anyways, I had noticed that I had done the same thing. So I didn't do that again. I did, however, she let me use her credit card, and I missed a payment once, and that she went through the roof. But that was a mistake. But anyways, living amends, I think, are things where we change our behavior. You know, I'm not borrowing. I'm not calling people up in the middle of the night. I don't get black cord fever anymore because I'm sober. You know, I do things, I behave appropriately. That kind of thing. And I was supposed to, for instance, then I made an amend to my cousin, who's my closest living relative now. And I'm really glad I did. She was getting married, and I was to be her maid of honor, and I didn't make it because I got myself locked up in the psychiatric ward. And for some reason, they let me put on the dress and everything, and they kind of drove me around, but they never took me to the wedding. So I guess it was just kind of a trial run to see how I was doing, and I wasn't doing well. I blame Thorazine, not myself, but you know, that's what they were doing, and we talked about that last week and the week before. Page 82 talks about the patience of wives and mothers. Passing all understanding is the patience mothers and wives have had with alcoholics. Had this not been so, many of us would have no homes today, would perhaps be dead. I don't know if I'd be so dramatically dead. I probably would have took up with somebody very inappropriate and bad who had a car or a van or something. But my mom was always there for me, and she was very patient. Amends for plain old bad behavior are very embarrassing. But again, they're not so we're humiliated. They're so partially, I found them to be humbling, and a big motivator to not have to make them again, to not do that, repeat that same behavior. With the financial amends, I didn't have too many, but I had some to employers, and I wanted one to make a big grand gesture and go in with that. I calculated, I think it was like $750, and in 1984, that was a lot of money. And my sponsor said, well, why don't you make the best deal you can with them, which is what it says in the book. So I wanted to get it over with. I wanted it off the ledger, but I didn't have $750, and I had to fly all the way to Chicago from Arizona. I also went to my high school reunion, but where more amends were made, and I'm not going to go into those, other than to say that it was a ripe opportunity. So if any of you have reunions coming up and you haven't made your amends yet, tick the box. Mine's 50. I'm thankful I made them at my 10th, you know. But anyways, so like most alcoholics, I wanted to be grandiose and, you know, get it all done in one fell swoop, but that didn't happen. I had an employer who was kind of nonplussed when it was a very small firm where I worked, and I had taken money when I was, you know, had an expense account and was going to some sort of continuing education or whatever, and taking more money than was the per diem in that. And he, I could tell he was like really disappointed, and he had kept me on the payroll when I wasn't doing any work. And it ultimately had to let me go. Several months later, I came back with this amend, and he wouldn't take any money from me. So I gave it, I don't remember where I gave it, but I did give it to some sort of charity, animal rescue comes to mind. They weren't rescuing animals back then, but there was a humane society. I mean, maybe they were, I don't know. This is another rabbit hole. The point being, so my sponsor said, you got to get that money out of your pocket. It's not yours. And so I did. The big book's really specific about certain situations, and I think I touched on those with the ex-wives and child support, and it would have been really grandiose to go up to the judge and say, here I am, but this guy, the example, he'd been remarried in jail. He can't earn any money to support her nor to pay the child support. So the suggestion was send a letter and some cash. You know, we said before, this is a very practical program, practical steps. And so, yeah, the warrant got quashed, apparently, and he didn't go to jail. On page 79, there are some general principles that guide what we're doing in the ninth step. And they are, although these reparations take innumerable forms, there are some general principles which we find guiding. Reminding ourselves that we have decided to go to any length to find a spiritual experience, we ask that we be given strength and direction to do the right thing, no matter what the personal consequences may be. We may lose our position, our reputation, or face jail, but we are willing. We have to be. We must not shrink at anything. When I was making these amends, I didn't really have a position yet to lose, but it was still a daunting task, and I felt, but based on, you know, other people's experience and what I think was the right thing to do, I got it done. I didn't drag my feet on my amends like I did on the fourth step. And to be honest, even though my sponsor said you're not always going to feel better, I wanted to feel better. And also, peer pressure kept me sober. I'm not saying pressure from my husband, but he was in my home group, and there was some peer pressure there. So anyway, I think there's some trouble with the, I don't know, I'm just going to keep going here. So I wanted to be able to be a part of, be in the middle of Alcoholics Anonymous, and also to be of help to somebody else. You know, I'd been around here for 2 years kind of taking what was shared with me. And my understanding is that we got 1 year to do that. My sponsors, or our group said, and I heard, that AA is like a bank, and in the first year you just take out all the withdrawals you need, and then we start giving back, we start making deposits, and so that made sense to me. There were some people on my list I didn't know where they were, and this was before the internet, and so I took the direction of some other people that I knew, and I went to the University of Arizona library and got at the big white pages and the big yellow pages that they had there, and found some addresses. So that was good. Kind of going back to the living amends, what we learn in the program, what I've learned, is kind of a design for living, and I act differently now. And I've heard, like, simple things. I send greeting cards. I make greeting cards and send them to people. Do the nice thing. To be fair, I think I always knew what the right thing to do was, even when I was drinking. I just ignored it, you know? And now I don't do that. And sometimes it's hard to do the right thing. I have a situation now where I'm going to visit my son and his family, and there are some unknowns there, and I got real upset about the prospect of it a few days ago because I don't know. I don't know how X, Y, and Z is going to come down, and I want to know before I go all the way to Timbuktu. And guess what? I'm not going to know. I'm just going to take my my design for living and go and do the very best I can and be the nice person. And frankly, the last time I had some bad reactions for which I've made amends, and I think I'm kind of on notice now. I hope I'm not on probation with those people, but we'll see. They're welcoming us to their town. And finally, with the having done a lot of amends, and I've done many since then, we learn how to do it in the ninth step, and then for the rest of our life, we have that tool. You know, we can write, look, where's the harm? What did I do? Talk to somebody else, pray, and make the amend. We are never, this is a good quote from page 83, we're never servile or scraping. We are sensible, tactful, considerate, and humble. And then we have the great hope that is this program, which we read all the time, which is the promises. And I'll would like to say too that in Dr. Bob's story, kind of towards the end, he addresses, he tells about his experience, and as many of us know, he drank, and then he was like, oh, I got to do this thing. So he, as they say in the book, he took the bull by the horns and went out to all the people that he had on his list, and in one day came home sober and made all his amends. So there's that option, especially if you've been born and raised in Erie. You can do it all in one day. So then we have, let's see. So if we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we'll be amazed before we're halfway through. We're going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we'll see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. So is step 9. Thanks.
Thank you, Carolyn. So now we have time for some questions of anybody here in the room.
Hi, my name is Dan. I'm now called Kinetic.
Hi, Dan.
Thank you, Carolyn. I'm getting a lot out of your talks. I really appreciate you doing this. Thank you.
Thanks.
When it comes to helping sponsees prepare to do their ninth step, do you ever have them, or do you have them write out scripts? You know, I know it's when I did my first ninth step, I had trouble staying on task with a particular person, or you know, I wanted to make sure I hit all the marks. But is that something you encourage them to do? Or
yes, I do currently. That's a great question. I sponsor two people that don't live here, and so kind of naturally, the amend that has come up, they write out, and then we review it together. And then my suggestion is that they take the written form with them, and if they have to, they read it. If not, you know. But yes, I think that's a great idea, because we don't want to leave a whole lot to chance and that going down the rabbit hole thing, you know. So, thanks.
Hi, I'm Ryan. I'm an alcoholic.
Ryan.
Thanks, Carolyn, for sharing your experience with steps 8 and 9. When you're making an amends, and someone doesn't accept it, What's kind of your approach there as far as, is it just you cleaned your side of the street, or is it, do you follow up with, like, how do I make this right? Do you know what I mean? If they're...
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Okay.
I get out of there as fast as possible. I made an amend that wasn't really accepted. It was very embarrassing. It was it was in my first list, the list. And so the guy just looked at me, and I had some money to give him. And he was just like, well, there, got that off your chest. And so I said thank you very much, and I left his office. And interestingly enough, I ran into him. I didn't run into him. I saw him across the swimming pool, two decades later. And I was like, oh. And I thought, well, he won't recognize me. And he didn't. But I was really glad I'd made that amend, because it would have just come up and bit me. So that happens. And that kind of brings up something to me that's kind of a question, but we have some little time. So just in my amends process, I was not asking somebody for forgiveness necessarily, because I'm not asking the person to whom I'm making the amend for anything. Now, they may forgive me, and they may say so. And I go with a forgiving spirit. It says that in the book. We go with having to do with the person that we hated, it says. We go with the forgiving spirit. But I definitely am sweeping off my side.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Who else has a question?
Hi, Carolyn.
Hi.
Friend alcoholic.
Hi,
thank
Brenda.
You for what you said. So have you ever been in a situation where someone came to you and wanted to make amends to you, and you really didn't want any part of accepting it on the other side of it?
No, that hasn't happened. I've actually only had one amend made to me ever. And no, it hasn't happened.
And have you ever had anyone try to make amends to you about something that you didn't even know they did? Like if they stole money from you or whatever? Have you ever been caught off guard where someone's making an amends to you and you didn't even know that there was a problem, now it's a problem?
Doing a quick scan of the Rolodex up here? No, I haven't had that experience. I haven't had that experience, but I could see where that would be kind of difficult. Yeah.
I'm an alcoholic. My name's Dave.
Hi, Dave.
And I was kind of wondering, have you ever had an instance where you've been in the program as long as you have, and somebody else has too, but you've done something and you want to make an amends to them, and I'm just saying, how about would you go around doing that?
Well, I had a certain circumstance that came up, and I felt that she had wronged me far worse than I had wronged her. But I talked to somebody else about it, and actually, I talked to two people about it, and one person said, oh, well, she was totally in the wrong. You don't need to say anything. But it was still bothering me. So so I said something to the person, and I don't know if it particularly set anything right, but it was off. As we say, it was off my chest, and we can, and so then we could be polite to each other in passing and stuff, but both of us many, many years sober in AA, so.
I had a second half of this, was, have you ever seen somebody that maybe you felt they owed you an amends and weren't sure how to handle that?
Well, sure. I mean, it's the new resentment list, right? They owe me an amend. What they did. So I kind of have to work the process through. In this case, probably a 10th step, and sometimes just leaving people alone is useful.
Who else has a question for Carolyn?
Hi, Carolyn. Jeff, alcoholic.
Hi, Jeff.
This is kind of a two-parter. First of all, I've been thinking about something you said last week. I can't stop thinking about it. And you said, this is not a program of self-knowledge or self-discovery. It is, and then I was so just perplexed by that first part that I didn't hear what it was, what it was supposed to be. Because I was like, holy crap, I'm learning stuff about myself all the time. So what is it supposed to be? But the second part is Dave's question and your answer. It's interesting to me, and I'm not sure how to handle it, where so many of my harms that I've done to people, they are coupled with a resentment I have against that person. And I guess it makes sense that, you know, these happen in relationships often. You know, and so there can be harms going both ways. And I just wonder if you have anything to say. You know, you mentioned the forgiving heart, but when's the proper time to make the amend as far as when you've processed what they've done to you?
This is, it's in the 9th step. And I'm sorry I can't quote line and verse here, but there are circumstances, of course, where we're like maybe 10% at fault and the other person is 90%. But, and I think I heard that on Monday night from the speaker. But, so I'm going for my 10% again, for so I can stay sober and clear up my side of the street. With regard to what I said about self-knowledge availed us nothing, which is right out of the book. And what my sponsor said to me is in fact step 4, and with her help I guess step 5 is the only step of analysis that we really do in AA, and so that's what I meant. I'm not saying that we don't look at our behavior or look at ourselves and discover, oh well, one of my big defects of character is I'm late all the time, frequently. Unless I'm, you know, going to be here, and I'll look bad if I'm late. You know, sometimes I overspend. Those are character defects that I know I have. And I think I also said, I think most of us have the same ones. I mean, there's only, what, 7 deadly sins, you know. So there's nothing that's particularly unique. So AA, I think, doesn't really ask us to be involved in a lot of self, looking at self. We look at self so that we can, again, so that we cannot drink and be of maximum service to our higher power.
Hi, Todd Backus, alcoholic.
Okay.
You did a wonderful job tonight. Thank you so much. And as you were going, I was thinking about, I learned when you make amends, you have 4 columns. The ones you make right away, the ones you make when you get a chance, ones you might mend down the road, and then ones, hell no, I'm never making them. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, did you ever have an amend that it took you a long time to make, but you eventually made it?
Oh.
The reason I'm asked, it took me 15 years, one amend in particular.
Yeah.
I swore to God I'd never make amends to a guy. And, you know, God just kind of comes in. I was wondering if you had that experience as well.
Not yet. I haven't had that experience.
Oh, great answer. Thank you.
Yeah. Not yet, but the thing is that I had a lot of motivation to make these amends because I was so sick before I did them. That, like I said, I was also was pretty young. I hadn't been in business very long, you know. So, no.
Thank you.
Thanks for elucidating those four classes of amends.
Yeah. Any final questions? If not, thank you, Carolyn.
Thank you.